Shall we pray? Loving Father, we give you this time now, and we ask that you'd open our ears and our hearts to your voice and speak to us in the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've just come back from your holidays, or if you're new, or you haven't been around for a while, a few weeks back, we began a new series based on this book. It's a book by Mark Green, and it's called Fruitfulness on the Frontline. And he points out right at the very beginning of this book that we all have front lines. We all have places or times when we regularly meet with people who do not know Jesus. And because this is now our season of looking outwards, I thought it was very appropriate that we just have a look at what he has to say. So he says, we all have front lines, places or times when we meet regularly with people who don't know Jesus, and we're all called to be fruitful on those front lines. And that image of fruitfulness crops up a lot in the Bible. There's lots of images, even in Jesus' own teaching, it implies fruitfulness. If you think of some of the parables he told and some of the images he used. But having surveyed the whole of the Old Testament, New Testament, and drawn together what they all have in common, this is what Mark Green has to say. By fruitfulness, we mean anything we do or say. Anything we do or say which brings glory to God. That is fruitfulness. And he comes up with six M's, six ways in which we can be fruitful on our front lines. Last week, Johnny looked at the first of these. We can bring glory to God on our front lines by modeling godly character. That was the first M. If you're wondering what an M is, it's just a letter. And today we come to, so basically, and it's interesting what you remember from what God says to you through sermons, but I can clearly remember the challenge that I was given last week. Modeling godly character means loving as God loves. That was what I drew out of what Johnny had to say last week. But anyway, today we come to the second M, and it's a wee bit more contrived. It's making good work. Essentially, what he's saying and what today is about is the fact that on our front lines, how do we do work that will have an impact on those around us? How do we do work? How do we work in a way that will have an impact to those around us if work is our front line? And today's reading is a very short one, just two verses. They're found in Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. It's on page number 1184, and I'm going to be referring to these two verses, particularly verse 23, quite a lot in what I have to say. So if once you find it on page 1184 in the church Bibles, you might want to keep it open. It's Colossians chapter 3, and we're just looking at verses 23 and 24. So that's Colossians chapter 3, and it's verses 23 and 24. Paul writes these words, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. I'll just read those words again. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, it may well be that work is the very last thing you want to think about today. You've just had a really tough week, and you've got to Sunday, and you just want space, and you don't want to think about it all. Or maybe you had a brilliant holiday, and you're going back to work on Monday morning, and you're, oh, no, I don't want to think about work at all. But if that's the case, then you may be making the mistake of thinking that by work we only mean paid employment. We only mean having a job. Paul says, whatever you do. The biblical definition of work is not limited to paid employment. It's everything we do. This is what Mark Green says. Work is everything that we do that needs to be done for the benefit of people and to the glory of God. Last week, Johnny mentioned Dinah Asher-Smith. I don't know if you watched her with renewed interest last Sunday evening as she sang, as she ran in the relay team. And you'll have seen the joy and delight that everybody had in her. She was someone who just loves running. And that love sort of spills out and has a real impact, not just on the people in the relay team, but on everybody. And we saw that last Sunday night. And I was reminded of that famous quote from Chariots of Fire. Hands up if you've seen Chariots of Fire. Quite a few of you have. Yeah. You know the quote I'm talking about. Ginny, I won't imitate his accent. When I run, I feel God's pleasure. And we catch a glimpse of that, Dana Asher-Smith. But, I mean, really what I'm saying here, that work doesn't just mean doing something you're paid for. It can also mean running in front of a crowd, whether or not you're paid for it. It can mean working on your allotment. It can mean changing a baby's nappy or baking some cheesy scones. Everything we do that needs to be done for the benefit of people and to the glory of God is work. Whatever you do, says Paul. And then he goes on to say, work at it with all your heart. Work at it with all your heart. To do something with all your heart can mean to do it to the very best of your ability. Like me doing maths for Miss Cunningham. Oh, I tried my hardest. And if we do that, we are honoring the God who made us in his own image. Because you see, work is God's idea. God invented work. It didn't just come along afterwards. God invented work. And he himself works. And he does it to the very best of his ability. The very first time the word work appears is right in the very first chapter of the book of Genesis. According to the Bible, creation is the work of God. That is the work of God. And if you stop and think about it, that's quite a thought. I mean, last week, Derek was up here at the front explaining to us all the work that had to be done in connection with the upgrading of our halls that's going on at the moment. And if you've been around the halls at all last week, you'll probably have seen Derek from dawn to dusk and beyond, planning and arranging and liaising and supervising and coordinating and troubleshooting and correcting and sweeping and mopping and I think he's probably even been painting and plastering. I'm not sure if he's had time to eat. Has he had time to eat and sleep, Susan? Occasionally. Good. I've noticed these things, Dan. But you've been doing it to the best of your ability. And when we do things to the best of our ability, we are glorifying God. We're doing it for him. I'll get onto that in a minute. But just think about all that effort on Derek's part not just Derek, lots of other people as well, going into doing just the upgrading of our world. Think of the effort that went into creating the world. Think of the planning and the designing and then the actual creating and then the maintenance contract. All that is the work of God. The God we worship is a God who works. And of course, he has made us in his image. He has made us in his image. When we work, when we do things that need to be done for the benefit of people and to the glory of God, we feel his pleasure. You know, you sometimes meet people who've never quite left school. And have a sort of schoolroom attitude to work. Maybe it's you. You know, playing is much more fun than working, really. So you're always waiting for the bell, and you're always longing for the holidays. And yet, if you cast your mind back to your school days experience, you know, when you're always longing for the holidays, it's great when they come. At first, But eventually, we're dying to get back to school again. We'll never admit it, but just all this sitting around doing nothing and annoying our parents, it just wears us out. We're not, George is shaking his head. He never liked going back to work. We'll pray for you later, George. The point I'm making is, we're designed to do things. We're not playing's important. Resting is important. I'm not saying those things are not important. Of course they're important. That's why we have a Sunday, a day with God, a day of rest. But we work from rest. We don't rest from work. We're designed to do work. We're designed, just as God works, for us to work as well. We're designed to be creative in what we do. We're designed to be fruitful in how we spend our time. And we're designed to look after the world that God has made and all that's in it. But there's actually more to good work than just doing it to the very best of our ability. We're told, work at it with all your heart. Whatever you do, says Paul, work at it with all your heart. So that immediately makes work a thing of the heart. And that's an interesting phrase to use. I was talking to Scott Brennan last week, and he loves it when the word heart pops up in Scripture. He says, oh, that's a godly word. That means just more than you'd see on the surface. So that means you've got to work out of a sense of compassion. You've got to work out of a sense of love, because these are things of the heart. Work at it with all your heart. When God made the world, he didn't just make it for himself. He made it for us. He made us something beautiful. He made a place where people can flourish. And so therefore, our work, whether paid or unpaid, should not just be something that we do for ourselves or is an end in itself. It should be a thing of the heart, something that we're passionate about. I'll give you an example, just so if you try to get your head around this, I'll give you an example. Because in this book, Mark Green gives the example of a man called Keith. Okay? And Keith is a painter or a decorator. Is there someone here called Keith who's a painter or a decorator? I'm just checking, because then I need your permission to read your story. You sort of think painting and decorating. Where's the passion in that? Well, his attitude to his work went through three distinct phases. The first was when he saw it as a means of making money. And that's fair enough. We all need money. So that's why he worked. He worked to make money. And for Keith, that was the sole purpose of his work. And then things began to change a wee bit. He began to realize that the money he made was useful, not just to himself, not just his family, but could be used to make a difference in other people's lives. So he was now working not just for himself. He was working so that the money that he earned could be used by other people and you know, used by his church and things like that. And then, one day when he was at his church, he had a light bulb moment and he realized that there's more to work than just money. He realized, and I'm quoting now, that when he's decorating, he's helping other people to lead the lives they need to lead. He's helping a woman look after her sick husband because she can't do any decorating. He's helping an older man who can't do the DIY anymore. He's helping a family with a disabled child to make a home that really works for them. He's serving God by serving people. He's not really doing anything different in his actual work, but his mindset has totally changed. As he told me, quote, I'm not doing it for the money anymore. I'm not doing it to give money to the church anymore. I'm doing it for God. That's my service, and it has totally transformed my life. Whatever we do, we need to work at it with all our heart. Work is good when it is a thing of the heart. Our Senior Citizens Club is going to be starting up soon. And there you'll find a great living example of people at working at something with all their heart. Because whatever they do it to the very best of their ability. Brian and Jenny headed up, and there's a team of people who help them. And Chris is there putting out the chairs and just making sure everything's right. And the folks in the cafe are providing lunches. And they're doing it to the very best of their ability. But if you ask any of the people who go to the Senior Citizens Club what's so special about it, they won't say, oh, the service is excellent. They'll say, that club is run on love. The people who run the club, they do it to the very best of the ability, but they do it with all their heart. They do it out of a sense of love and caring and compassion for the people who come. Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. And then he adds this final thing in verse 23, as working for the Lord. And Jesus says something similar in Matthew chapter 5. You know the famous Sermon on the Mount. He finishes when he talks about salt, and then he talks about light. And then he says, let your light so shine that people will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. In other words, everything we do, we should be doing for the glory of God, so that people will praise our Father in heaven. Which is quite a big thing to think about. I mean, it gives us a number of things to think about. We have to ask ourselves, is everything I do bringing glory to my Father in heaven? Everything I do bringing glory to my Father in heaven. See, not all the things we do are good. Not all the things we do or are involved in will bring glory to our Father in heaven. So it means we have to sit down and think about this carefully. Not all work is good. Not all business practices are good. Not all economic strategies enable people to flourish. Is everything we do bringing glory to our Father in heaven? And then there's the things that actually happen in the workplace, whether it's the voluntary workplace or the paid workplace. Things like bullying. Things like gossiping. Things like ganging up or ostracizing or, you know, all the sort of workplace politics that go on. So when we are there and it is happening, are we condoning it? Are we keeping our heads down? Are we joining in? Are we standing up against it? Are we speaking out? Are we supporting those who are being victimized? Everything we do, we need to do with all our heart in a way that brings glory to our Father in heaven. As I said, it's a thing of the heart. And another attribute of the heart is courage. Compassion. Courage. We have to work at it with all our heart. And finally, and this is probably the biggest challenge of all, not all work is something we would choose to do. But that doesn't mean to say that it doesn't need to be done. One thing I haven't focused on so far is the actual context in which these verses of Scripture are found. Those biblical scholars around you are now breathing a sigh of relief and saying, at last, he's going to talk about it. Because you see, when Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, when he says that, the people he's addressing are slaves. That particular passage is about slaves and how their approach should work to work should be. And they're slaves who become Christians. Now, the Roman Empire ran on slavery. This great, gigantic edifice depended completely on slavery. Slavery was the foundation of the entire edifice, the entire economic system. So it would take a lot to change it. And Paul is not condoning slavery in this passage, but he's giving advice to those who are caught up in slavery or having to do things that they don't particularly want to do because they have no choice in the matter. Whatever you have to do, he says, for your earthly masters, do it as if you are working for the Lord. You know, the greatest evangelists, the people who bore the most fruit in the early church, apart from one, two well-known names that crop up in Scripture, if you actually do a sociological history of the early church and find out how the gospel spread so quickly throughout the Roman Empire, you'll find that there are two groups of people involved who, for some reason, were responsible for spreading the good news. And those two groups were both groups that were relatively powerless in Roman society and culture. And they were slaves and women. The people responsible for the spreading of the gospel were slaves and women. They must have been the ones who had the biggest impact on the other people round about them. Because it's no use just talking about something if it's not reflected in your life. And that's something for us to think about. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Because the interesting thing is, over time, they did change the system because the gospel permeated to all levels of society. And it's because they're working. They were doing all the things that they didn't even want to do. They're working as if for the Lord. And what about us? We, I hope, do not see ourselves as slaves. But what about the things in life that need to be done, but nobody likes doing them? You know, the things that you just hope someone else is going to do, or you're glad it's not your responsibility to do, or you just ignore, hope they go away. Like, someone has to make the hard decisions. Someone has to speak to the difficult person. Someone has to deal with a tricky situation. Someone has to do it. And on a practical level, someone has to tidy up the staff room. Someone has to clean the toilets. Someone has to mop up the mess. Someone has to do it. And I often think that it's when the people on our front line see how we do the difficult things, how we do the jobs no one else is willing to do, when they see how we do it, that's when our faith has the biggest impact on their lives. Because it's authentic. It's real. And when you think about it, we have the very best example in Jesus himself. Because think of what he did to clean up our mess. His life and his death make it clear for all to see that there is nothing that he would not do to the very best of his ability because of his love for us. Let's just have a few moments of just quiet reflection. And I'll read that verse again, verse 23 again. Just sit and think about it and ask yourself, what is God saying to me today about the work that I do? And what am I going to do about it? Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Whatever you do it with all your heart as working for the Lord.